Continuing now on this Thursday, glad to have you along for the conversations at the Steve Gruber Show. You can find out more at stevegruber.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Steve Gruber Show, on Twitter and Instagram as well, and at americasvoice.news. You can watch the program live streaming every day from 6 until 8 Eastern time, so a good place for you to stop in as well. My next guest, Professor Richard Ebling, Senior AIER, Senior Fellow, BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. He joins me again today because we're going to talk about this ongoing trade war with China and the challenges it faces. Professor, welcome back.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on again, Steve.
Always good to have you here. Now, you write a piece here where you think that the president, considering himself to have nearly warlike powers in directing trade and in trying to direct American companies, whether or not they should do business in China, you get a red flag out of this. You're concerned. You find this worrisome.
Yes. Basically, what it is that Trump made these tweets last week saying that it would be better if we had no economic relationships with China. We would be no worse off. He accused the China of being a bad trading partner. And then he ordered, in this tweet, ordered American businessmen to get ready to leave China and stop doing business with China.
Well, I think it's fair to say we do have a bad trading partner in some respects. We know that China does engage in the theft of intellectual property. We know that China has a tendency to manipulate its currency in an effort to take advantage of markets, not just with us, but around the world. And so there are some things that have been tried to work out. Now, but your concern is the way the president is trying to dictate to American businesses how they should conduct themselves, right?
Correct. See, it's not whether China has a government that does bad things. The question is, what is our own conduct and the president of the United States? He has actually a power under a 1977 Economic Emergency Act to virtually declare a national emergency and tell businessmen who they can do business with, where they can invest, impose punishment. Now, it's true, Congress delegated this authority, and presidents have used this occasionally. But think of it. Is this consistent with our American constitutional orders, Steve?
But I have to ask you, I want to focus on that point just for a moment, Professor. The president, you believe, is going too far by doing that, but he has the authority by way of the Congress given to the president back in 1977. He's not violating the law in any way. He's not breaking the law. In fact, so what I want to focus on there, though, is for a moment is when he mentioned that the first time, the liberal media went crazy. But once again, you find that they go out on a limb and find out, well, wait a second, what he's saying is legal. Don't have to like it, but it's legal and it's under his purview. Yes or no?
It is under his purview under existing legislation. The question is, and we as conservatives and classical liberals always hammer away about this. Government may do things today, but should it do them? Should it have the right to do them? We talk about regulation, redistribution. Laws have been passed to allow government to regulate and redistribute wealth. We challenge the efficiency and desirability and the ethics of it.
Agreed.
I'm just suggesting that, yes, the president has this authority under a 1977 congressional piece of legislation. The question is this consistent with a system of free enterprise and respect for private property and open markets? When we give one man the authority to declare a national emergency based upon some idea that he has in his mind and then dictate to where American businessmen may or may not invest, where they can put their capital, that they have to stop dealing with trading partners with whom they may have extremely delicate and important trading relationships through supply chains of production.
And we go back
to the issue I'm questioning. Is it consistent with traditional constitutionalism in America?
I think it's a fair question to be asked. Dr. Richard Ebling here with us from the Citadel. We go back to the time that law was put in place, 1977. Of course, a different time. Jimmy Carter was in charge. And, gosh, I can't believe anybody giving him that power, but so it is. But the only way to reverse that and to take that power away, I don't believe this president's going to use that. I don't think he's going to declare a national emergency. I could be proven wrong. I don't believe that's going to happen. If it were going to happen, I believe it would have happened. But somewhere down the road, another question will present itself. Another issue will present itself, and we'll be at the same place. Do you think the Congress should go try to take that back, what was put in place in 1977?
I do, in the sense that I believe that there may be circumstances in which there is a national crisis of some sort and an emergency involving other countries. But certainly there needs to be breaks on how far the president goes. For example, he might be able to declare a national emergency, but it might require congressional agreement or congruence with, let's say, within 30 or 60 days. But the way this is now, this is open-ended. There is no check on him. He can just do this, and in principle, for an indefinite period of time. That is one man. That is ruled by men rather than by ruled by law in the traditional sense that we talk about our Constitution.
Let me ask
That's
you this:
the concern I have.
You're also concerned about the tone and tenor with Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Fed, and the back and forth with the president there. Do you think the president is going too far in trying to get the trade under control, to keep the economy moving forward, to do these things? Do you think that he's going too far? Because as you put it, he sees enemies both home and abroad. Does this concern you?
Yes. I've been very supportive of tax cuts, the deregulation that he's undertaken. But in my humble opinion as an economist, I believe he has many faulty notions and ideas about such things as trade deficits, what currency movements may or may not involve in terms of American business. And he has notions that are inconsistent and logically wrong in terms of our trade with China. That we have a trade deficit with China per se does not matter. I have trade deficits with a lot of people in terms of my own personal finance, in that I buy more from them than they buy my economics lectures. But that doesn't change the fact that there are others that I have as students who, through their tuition, buy more from me than of the particular products I buy from their parents who are sending them to school. The question is the global, and by which I mean the national, trade balance imbalance? Or if it's not, what are the reasons? And the fact that we have a trade imbalance with China per se does not matter in the big picture. But he focuses on that, and he's incorrect.
All right, so you find fault there, but the economy as a whole right now continues to have very strong indicators. The curves, the yield curves inverted, but the difference between a yield curve inversion and a recession, which is almost always happens, it's like a year and a half away, though, isn't it? I'll leave you with that question for today.
Yes, and there's no certainty on the current situation that an inverted yield curve necessarily means a recession. However, let me say, since you brought up, he accused Jay Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, of maybe being a greater enemy than the president of China. Why? Because he wants the Federal Reserve to just arbitrarily raise or lower interest rates at his own presidential whim. Interest rates are supposed to be set by the market and not arbitrarily by politicians. And that's a gross error and mistaken danger on his part.
But in fairness, Professor, they are arbitrarily set, and they were done so during Barack Obama's administration. We can pick that conversation up next time, however, because the quantitative easing was political in nature, was it not? It's a rhetorical question.
Absolutely.
Professor Richard Ebling, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you.
All right.
Until next time.
Quick break. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
DTE wants to help your business build Michigan's future. Whether your business is large, small, or in between, a DTE expert will help you find ways to improve energy efficiency and add incentives through our many programs. Programs that can help you save money. Money you can use to create jobs and invest in the future. You see, DTE wants you to be successful. Because when your business thrives, Michigan does too. DTE. At DTE, our business is making sure you have reliable, affordable natural gas to keep your business running. So we constantly upgrade and monitor our system 24/7, 365. We also buy natural gas in the summer when prices are low and store it for winter. Because at DTE, part of our business is to keep your business costs affordable all year long. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE.
You've seen the headlines. Water purity has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier water treatment company and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves customers statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine water in your free water test. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine water logo. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine water logo.
Opioid addiction can affect anyone, any neighborhood, any day.
It happened to me.
I'm recovering.
I lost my son.
One in four patients on long-term painkiller therapy struggles with addiction. But together, we can stop the cycle and end this deadly epidemic. Learn more at michigan.gov/stopoverdoses. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.